I have a question for you tonight. I want to know something, and I want you to be, I was going to say honest, but you all are honest people, but I want you to be frank with me. And would you raise your hand if you have ever had a bad day? Why do you laugh? Oh, yeah. Okay. See, you proclaim that easy enough. All right? Yeah. I mean, we've all had a bad day and tasted it. And this is chasing a rabbit, but it is true. We do easily proclaim bad days. You know, right from the morning, it's interesting how the enemy gets us. Now, you might say it's just human nature and la-di-da, but the truth is it's the enemy. Right from the mornings, the first thing that goes wrong, you go, it's going to be one of them days. Don't you say that? No. Here we go. You expect it. You anticipate it. Until you finally, you're halfway through the morning, you're looking forward to it. I'm going to probably get hit by a car today. Right? We do that. And it's just natural speech. It happens, you know, whether it's on the job, in school, in home, wherever it is, we begin to use our mouth to proclaim our day. And, you know, I'm not going to make a biblical doctrine out of it, but there is something to saying, no, Jesus is going to have his way. And that doesn't sound right, and it goes against our nature because it takes faith. But sometimes you have to hear yourself say it, right? And I have found often that when I say, Lord, I'm going to begin to proclaim your goodness and your grace, it makes a difference in my day. But it's something to get there doing it. I want to just briefly talk a little bit about what you can do with a bad day. I wanted to get to the point, I had this concept in my mind that I could pray enough and ask God to just zap me so that I would never have another bad day. No matter what happened, what the situation, what the circumstance, I wouldn't be affected. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. I found out by revelation that God can do that. Are you interested? Well, don't be too interested. Because I found out when, like we had this afternoon, during a great lightning storm. It's fascinating to watch lightning. But then it came to me. God could make a way for me to never have another bad day. It's called going to heaven. You know? Because you're going to have bad days down here. And the Word of God is specific on that. But it's how we handle it. So, heaven's a nice place to not have a bad day. I have found that God does want to help us with bad days, but he gives us wisdom and he gives us help. And I like bookmarks, and I've made and I've been known to do bookmarks. I'll tell you why. Bookmarks have been, in my time, I've come across bookmarks. I have one by my bedside with a quote by John Wesley. Not my son, because his quotes aren't always uplifting to me. But this one was, and I don't have it exactly, but it was by John Wesley, and it said that no matter how intense the darkness, it cannot quench the light of one single candle. Isn't that wonderful? It's so uplifting. And so the Lord put on my heart a bookmark about a bad day. And what to do if you are having a bad day. And I'll tell you what, I brought, I don't know how many I have, but I have some for you. So you can put them in your book, okay? And maybe some of you guys could just, I don't know if I have enough, quickly just distribute them. Maybe if you go that way and you go that way, okay? And you'll see when you get this bookmark that it says on there, today seems like a good day to smile. Isn't that a nice phrase? Today seems like a good day to smile. I'm going to tell you while they're distributing them where I got this from. In the chapel, we have a handicapped man who is around 60 years old, but when he was 21, he was in a terrible car accident and broke his neck and became confined to a wheelchair. Now he's confined to the wheelchair. Before that, he used crutches, and he would literally just drag his feet. But he was determined not to stay stationary, but to move around, be able to get around. We were having a VBS, and as we were conducting that VBS in this hall, here comes, his name is Jack, here comes Jack with these crutches. He had carried himself up, it must have been, 10, 12 flights of stairs. It was a hot summer day, got himself in the back door of the hall, and pulled himself in. He wanted to so much, he had been praying for the VBS, he wanted to see what was happening there. He had gotten himself in the hall, and he was soaked from perspiration. And I said, Jack, are you okay? And he said to me, leaning on his crutches, he said, "Today seems like a good day to smile." And it's so true of him, because he always has a smile. No matter how hard his life is, how difficult, he always has a smile. And that's what and when he said that, "Today seems like a good day to smile," I started to smile. And then the Lord put in my heart this. It says way down there in small print, when you're having a bad day. So maybe this will bring a smile to you this week, counselors, or in the months to come. Maybe you'll come across this when you're having a bad day, and some of these truths will be helpful to you. And that's what I'd like to share with us tonight. So I took smile and I made a cross stick of it. And here are some good tips for when things just start going wrong. And the first one is this: soak yourself in Scripture. And you'll notice there that it's from Psalm 35. And this is what we read: "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life." No, I read the wrong one. Thank you. It's Psalm 119:92. "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." It's amazing what one verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit gives us can do for our day, no matter how it's going. It's great to memorize it. Now, maybe you don't have the greatest retention or memory like I don't. I don't have that. But, you know, there are Scriptures that God can give us to strengthen us, to build us. And I've often found when my day is heading that way, that when I go to the Word of God and I say, "Lord, I really need encouragement. I need a word from you," or through my devotions, God gives me a word that I think about all day. And it's faith building. And it's inspiring. So there's things you can do instead of just letting the day take its course. And the first thing is to let that Scripture that the Holy Spirit has given you soak in. Think about it during the day. Instead of just thinking over and over, like, "This stinks, this rots, this isn't going well. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe she said that. Who are they to give me an attitude? Oh, I'm so tired." And oh, you know, we entertain, our minds entertain that so much. How about a Scripture? A simple one. About the joy of the Lord. And think on that. Bring it back to you. It makes a difference. The second thing is this: morning is coming. And that's from Psalm 35. "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Now that is a wonderful hope, that this thing is not eternal. And how I feel right now, what I'm going through, this difficulty is going to pass. You know what they tell you in the world, in 100 years, who's going to care, right? Well, that's not scriptural. This is. God has promised that it may be tough right now, but he's going to make it better. And that should bring us hope and give us hope. The third thing is this: invite the Holy Spirit in. And this is from Psalm 51:11-12. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David prayed that, of course. And we need that too, from Psalm 51, to invite the Holy Spirit in. How often do you do that? How often do you say, Lord, today I need your Holy Spirit. I need my portion today. It should be a daily cry. We hear so much about how important it is that we have devotions before we start our day, before we head out to the work or school. But how important it is to say, Lord, I invite you in. Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me today. If you don't do that, think about the things that will fill you during the day. An attitude so quickly can fill us. This week I mentioned something that came to me, and it's so true, that your mind can't easily change the way you feel, but how you feel can easily change your mind. And that's the power of an attitude. One person says one thing to you, right? Your heart gets a feeling, and you change your mind about what you're going to do that day. You change the course of it. You might have had plans. You might have had anticipations of doing things. But now, because of that attitude, because of that feeling, you're not going to. And someone comes along and says, well, why don't you just forget about it, can you? No. It fills you up. There's different things that will fill us up. It's so important that we say, you know what, instead of getting filled up with this attitude or this hurt or the way that the aggravation of this day, what if we just simply do something? And you know, you can't always start it from here because your heart's heavy or troubled or burdened, but you can start it here with this. I remember that I can invite in the Holy Spirit. And you should never look for a feeling, but you should look for a promise that Jesus said, and his promises are yea and amen. And you begin by just saying, Lord, this stinks today, but I invite you in, Holy Spirit. Don't take your presence away from me, Lord. You said that you're always with me and that you would never leave me. That will work. It'll work if you do that. Invite in the Holy Spirit. Now, the fourth thing. Love people, trust the Lord, from Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Why do I have this one? Because we live with people. And it's a little secret that I'm going to let you all in on tonight. People aren't always a blessing. People aren't always uplifting. Even saints and brothers and sisters in the Lord. It happens, right? When I became a pastor, it was an eye-opener of how much we can really aggravate each other if we're not careful. So I have here, look. Well, I'm thinking now, Brother Carl Saylor, the caretaker, when I worked with him years ago, he said, well, where there's people, there's problems. Someone's always going to say something you don't like. Someone's always going to do something you don't care for. But a good way to go forward and to make your day on an upward scale is to realize, you know what, God wants me to love people. And even though they may hurt me, even though things may disagree with me, I'm going to love them. I worked with Brother Page, a German fellow here, during many summers, and Brother Tom knows too, because he said this to Brother Tom many times. But he would say, when you messed up on a project that you were working with him, or you just happened to disagree with him, he would say, I have to love you. I have to love you. And he'd yell it loud. He'd convince himself. I have to love you. And I remember him saying that to Tom. Tom, I have to love you. The Bible says I have to love you. And I think after maybe 50, 60 times, I saw love in his eyes for Tom and me too. We always worked together. in the basement, and you know, we just yell at each other. Because I didn't know better to respect my elders. Why you do that? Why? I said, that's what I thought we were supposed to do. And he'd go, what'd you say? I said, that's why. And we would go, and Mike Corrigan and some of the guys would be like, oh boy, we need a revival. But whenever Brother Page needed something done, he'd ask for me. Because we understood each other. You know? Either that or we just never heard each other because we were yelling at each other. Listen. Listen. Get this. Counselors. Love one another down there. Don't let Satan put one wedge between any of you. Love one another. But you trust God. Trust God. If you have a rub, say, Lord, I'm going to love that person and I'm going to trust you to make it right. That'll make a difference. That'll make a big difference in your ministry to those boys, in our ministry, in your family, makes a big difference. So love God. Trust, love people and trust God. Here's the last one. So important too. Expect God to work. One of the biggest tools we give the enemy on a bad day, when things don't seem like they're just heading up but going down, one of the largest tools that we can hand the enemy is that we stop expecting God to do anything. Amen?
Yes.
It's so true. That's where he gets us. We anticipate the decline. We'd be disappointed if the day went better. So I didn't expect that. Right? That's how it gets us, in such a way that, you know, the clouds could burst through and a large rainbow could come over the day and you say, well, what difference does that make? You know, what? Don't, I'll tell you, watch out for that. Years ago, Reverend Gardner told us that Brother Hans Waffle, you called him the dumps. You know? And it's interesting how the dumps are contagious. Just spreads from the whole, from one to another. It just spreads. How are you doing today? I don't know. Not that great. Yeah, you know, you could be the happiest guy. You're running today. Yeah. I'm not so happy myself. Listen, expect God to work. It makes a difference. It's faith. And we need to remind each other again and again that faith is not feelings. That's easier said than done, though, isn't it? But God blesses the brother or the sister who gets it here, says, I know what God's word says. It's not about how I feel. I'm taking faith today. I'm expecting God to work. Things aren't going lining up right now, but I'm expecting God to work because he's faithful. And even though it doesn't look good and I can't see how he's going to work it out, I'm expecting him to work. You learn that very often at home on a Sunday morning, in the Sunday morning service. You know, you can pray and you have everything lined up, and then things start falling apart. And you're like, oh boy, this meeting's ruined. You know, Brother Edwin used to tell a funny story, this meeting's ruined. But then if you have faith and say, Lord, no matter how things go, you're going to work, you'd be surprised what the Holy Spirit does. It goes beyond our expectations, beyond our plans, beyond our organization, and he works. So we have the verse here from Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And I think we all know this verse. When the enemy comes in like a flood, what will happen? The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you really believe that? It makes a great motto. It's a wonderful plaque. But unless you take the plaque off the wall and beat down the enemy with it, it's not going to work. So I want to, again, and guess, I asked your allowance in this to just speak to the counselors, that no matter how your morning's going, God is able to raise a standard. But I want to ask the counselors, do you believe that?
Yes.
Hmm. maybe right after the meeting and after the staff meeting, we should have another prayer meeting, Brother Jeff. Counselors, do you believe that God can raise a standard?
Yes.
All right. Either they're very tired or they just don't like me. You have to believe it. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Because you're going to have some days down there that aren't going to be all that great. But you have to anticipate and expect God's greatness. And that'll be the day when Jesus does the greatest victories. Why? Because it's not all about you. It's what he does. And he honors faith. And he respects faith. And he rewards faith. So let's believe that.